Welcome. I'm Matt Martin, General Manager here at KALW, and this is the Manager's Report to the Listeners. Cross Currents and the BBC's Business Daily will return to the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, but today I'm going to be giving you some updates on what's happening at KALW and in public radio more broadly, and I'll be taking your questions and comments and ideas about local public radio. We're going to open the phone lines later in the hour, but you do not have to wait to drop me a line at matt@kalw.org. That's matt@kalw.org. Or you can tweet me at @KALWMatt. Right now, we are in an incredibly challenging time for news media, and particularly for public media. We know that, because we ourselves feel the same way, we are hungry for information and ways to tune out the noise of politics and to focus on what really is actually important, the real changes that are happening in our government and our society, and the broader context that lets us make sense and engage as citizens rather than just to tune out or to react rather than engage. And so I can tell you that my colleagues here at KALW, and especially on the news and public affairs shows like Cross Currents and City Visions and Your Call, feel an acute sense of responsibility in this moment. At Your Call, Rose Aguilar and her team have really been trying to strike a balance between watchdog coverage of what's happening in Washington from deep background on the nominees for the cabinet and the Supreme Court, keeping track of moving policy changes in areas ranging from immigration to reproductive rights to telecommunications, doing that watchdog work, but also trying to step back, look at the bigger picture, and to look at the context of both popular movements that are happening right now, the history of some issues. She did a full week about immigration, its past and present in the United States. So that's the kind of work that Your Call is trying to do at this moment. Both Cross Currents and City Visions have really been focused on what's happening in Washington, but really trying to humanize its impacts and to talk about what it will mean to people in the Bay Area. Tonight's City Visions is a great example, looking at the proposed cuts to the EPA and other regulatory agencies and how they will affect environmental protection in California. You'll want to stay tuned for that at 7 o'clock. And the beat reporters on Cross Currents have been doing a range of reports on the Bay Area impacts of what's happening in D.C., education, the environment, housing and transportation, lots of stories responding to that, and also a real attempt to bring forward the voices of people in the Bay Area who are responding to what is coming out of Washington. Now, we know that what we do locally is only one element of what you value on KALW, and that the national and global programming when it comes to responding to this moment are just as important. And I have heard a lot of concerns from listeners and from my colleagues as well about NPR's coverage of the election campaign as well as the new administration. I'm going to share a few emails from listeners along those lines later in the program. However, I do want to say, as legitimate as I think a lot of those criticisms are, I really want to encourage you as listeners, as people who care about public media, not to see NPR as the enemy. And I know most people listening say, well, of course I don't see NPR as the enemy. But I think that, I definitely hear from some people who get so fed up with what they hear on NPR that they start to feel that way and start to disconnect from what public radio is doing, at least in terms of the national entity. But I have to say, we have had visits here at the station in the last few weeks from All Things Considered host Kelly McEvers, also from Mark Memmott, who's the head of standards and practices at NPR. And they had really in-depth and frank and wide-ranging discussions with us. And what I took away from those conversations was that, first, NPR is itself struggling with how to respond to this moment, where to put its editorial focus, which voices to bring on, how to handle an administration that is really adversarial with the media in a way that they haven't seen before. So that is one thing. They are involved. I mean, they are thinking all the time, just like we here at the local level are, about how to take on these issues and how to get it right. And the other thing I got from it is really recognizing that NPR itself is diverse and that it is important that we support the parts and the people of that operation that we think are doing valuable work. We say good things when we hear a report that we think really goes in depth and bring forward perspectives that we value. And also that we need to stay engaged and in their ears. And I am always ready and do it every week. It definitely happens that I am forwarding messages from listeners to our station representative at NPR, who then sends them along to the various editors and reporters at the network. And I really encourage folks to do that through me, through the ombudsman, through other forms of directly communicating with NPR, and especially to talk about what you see that is positive and what, when you have a criticism to say, can be a constructive approach. What do you want to see NPR do in addition to what you critique in their coverage? And I just really think at this time when funding for public broadcasting is under attack, as you've probably heard, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting would have its funding zeroed out under the Trump administration's proposed budget. Right now, we need to engage constructively across public radio. That means with NPR, PRI, APM, all the other programs and stations and producers in public media. And it's important to remember that not everywhere in this country is the Bay Area, where we have this incredible choice of non-commercial broadcasters. This is a fabulous place to do this work and a fabulous place to be a listener, because you have choices and you have stations that are listening to one another and thinking about, hey, what more can we do to serve the needs of the community? And it's really in those other places in the country where they don't have those choices that NPR's reporting on national and international affairs is important. You know, it is not something that will be replaced if it's not there, and where the cuts to CPB funding would hit hardest. So I want to encourage you, if you have not already, to visit the website of the Protect My Public Media campaign. There is a prominent link at KALW.org that will take you there. You'll see a petition opposing cuts to public media, and more importantly, you'll have the opportunity to get on a list to get updates on what's happening around CPB funding and to let you know how you can act when the time comes. Because as we saw from the vote on repealing Obamacare that happened last week, just because the president says something should happen doesn't mean it will, and the voices of constituents do matter. So we need to stay engaged and let them know that public media is important to us. But in addition to making that point about public media and about NPR, I do want to say that, you know, we, of course, we believe that we need to have a range of sources of information. That's why we make not just NPR, but the BBC and CBC and our local programming part of the mix here. And so when I've been thinking about some program changes that I'm going to talk about here in a moment, part of what I've been thinking about is what is the mix that will allow you to not only want to stay tuned, but to be informed and engaged and to have some comparison between some different points of view as you assess how you want to respond to what you're hearing from Washington and what's happening here locally. And so we got news recently that the BBC's World Have Your Say is going to be going out of production. And so we're going to take the opportunity to bring on what I think is really one of the strongest daily national politics and current affairs programs in public radio, and that is On Point with Tom Ashbrook. It's produced out of WBUR in Boston. And I think when I'm thinking about what makes this a relevant program for now, it's not just that, I mean, Tom is a great public radio journalist. You will get a lot of facts. He moves things along. He makes sure that both his guests and his listeners, you know, make their points and back them up. He will challenge people when necessary. But also because he makes a real attempt in his program to reach out to voices that are outside of Boston or outside of San Francisco or D.C. or Los Angeles, and to say what is happening for listeners in the middle of the United States, those flyover states that, unfortunately, our media can sometimes either ignore or get wrong. And so I think he's made a real attempt to do that, and you'll hear those voices on Point as, and you know, in the context of a really strong public radio program. So that's Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m., and that will be starting next week. On Point will be coming on then. That means that Inflection Point, which is heard Fridays at 11, will stay right where it is. But there will be two other related changes. Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, which you now hear Mondays at 11, will move to noon on Mondays, right before alternative radio. And then Open Source, which is now Mondays at noon, hosted by Christopher Lydon, which just in a few months of having on the air, we've gotten a lot of unsolicited positive feedback about. So I want to thank you, for those of you who got in touch with me, to let me know that you value Open Source. It's going to be moving to Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. It's going to replace the TED radio hour, 4 p.m. on Sundays. Two other moves that we are making as part of this package of changes that will go into effect next week are going to put programming that is unique to KALW in the Bay Area in places on our schedule where more people will hear them. In doing these reports to the listeners, I have heard more than any other thing from listeners that they would like us to resume our 8 p.m. rebroadcast of your call. I know there are many people who cannot hear the show when it is live at 10 a.m. We have put it at 11 p.m. for rebroadcast. It certainly has some folks who catch it there. But I know that there are many listeners who said, I'm not listening at 10 a.m. I'm not up at 11 p.m. I'd like it in a more prominent place. And so beginning next week, we are going to reinstate the 8 p.m. broadcast of your call Monday through Thursday. The Media Roundtable will continue to be rebroadcast, as it has been for years, at 5 p.m. In turn, we are going to move the CBC's As It Happens to 6 p.m., which will replace our broadcast rebroadcast of Fresh Air Monday through Thursday. So As It Happens from the CBC. And I have to say, I've been listening to As It Happens a lot in recent months. And I mean, I've always felt that the Canadian perspective is valuable on our politics, both, you know, to hear what they have to say about us, but also just to kind of be like, what are they doing in their government? What's happening with the way their politics are moving and their society is moving, and to hear that perspective. And I think since the election, As It Happens has felt additionally relevant to me. And so I'm very glad to be able to bring it to a place where it will be closer to when it actually is broadcast in Canada. It goes live at 4:30 in the afternoon. Am I right about that? Yes, 4:30 in the afternoon Pacific time in Canada. And so we are able to actually bring it closer to when it's actually on the air and the news is fresher at 6 p.m. Pacific time. So As It Happens, we'll be coming to 6 o'clock. And the Fresh Air rebroadcast will be going away. That was not an easy decision for me. It's part of the reason why, in spite of the many people who have asked me to return the Your Call rebroadcast, that I've hesitated to over the years, because I know that there are many people who value that rebroadcast of Fresh Air. But I decided that given that Fresh Air is heard 9 a.m. on KALW and 1 p.m. and then again at 7 p.m. on KQED 88.5, our colleagues here in San Francisco, I've decided that we're going to go ahead and put As It Happens in that spot. As the Your Call rebroadcast moves away from 11 p.m., that is going to open up some spaces, and we are going to bring back music and ideas, programming to that that slot at 11 p.m. It's a whole series of things. You have to look at your scorecard or go to KALW.org where all this is run down. But I will tell you, on Monday night, we are going to be bringing you a short-run series called Living American Composers. It's all about new music. It's out of WFMT in Chicago. That's going to be on Monday nights. On Tuesday, we'll be bringing a second broadcast of The Spot, which is our locally produced podcast feature showcase hosted by Ashley Ann Krigbaum. That's going to be at 11 p.m. on Tuesdays. And following that, we'll bring you the BBC's Discovery, which is a wonderful magazine on scientific questions that you'll want to stay tuned for on Tuesday nights. Wednesday night, after Fog City Blues, we'll be bringing you Sound Opinions. And on Thursday night, following Africa Mix, we're going to return Afropop Worldwide to KALW's airwaves. It has been a few years, but it's going to be great to have Georges Collinet and his team back. Oh, I think it's a wonderful follow-on from Africa Mix at 11 p.m. on Thursdays. As I say, it's a lot to absorb, so I welcome you to go to KALW.org. You'll see a post there right at the top that talks about the program changes, and you can see everything that I've just run down there as well. I've already started to get response from listeners about the changes, and I welcome yours as well at matt@kalw.org. If you were tuned to KALW during the San Francisco School Board meeting a few weeks ago, or perhaps read the San Francisco Examiner report that was headlined SF School Leaders Attempt to Steer News Coverage of District-Owned KALW, you may have heard about some questions that were put to me by members of the Board of Education about whether KALW is doing enough to tell the positive stories about what's happening in San Francisco's public schools. To give you a little context, I was giving my annual report to the Board of Education, as KALW is licensed to and owned by the SFUSD, has been since 1941. The school board is our governing board. So once a year, I go to them. I talk about station activities, what we're working on, and invite their questions. And I have to say that in my more than 10 years as general manager here, the school district and its board have been very supportive of KALW and respectful of the editorial firewall between the station and the district. At the same time, I know that the focus of the school board is on public education, not on public radio, And I can understand why there are members of the board who are focused on the public schools might ask why the station owned by SFUSD isn't more directly promoting it. And that's why I always talk when I report to the board about the importance of the editorial firewall and the fact that as an institution that serves the whole community, KALW's independence is valuable to the station, it's valuable to its listeners, and also, I believe, to the SFUSD. And I made it very clear that evening and in a follow-up memo to the board that our reporters and hosts are not going to be directed to cover the stories that the district wants them to cover. Our independence is a matter of principle. It's a matter of survival. Journalists need to be able to tell the stories they think are important and to maintain the trust of our listeners, whose support we absolutely depend on. We need that break between the district and editorial decision-making at KALW. I do want to make it clear that that does not mean we can't serve the district's educational mission in other ways. And I think we've shown that we will take initiative and dedicate resources to make that happen. We broadcast the board meetings, of course, the school lunch menus. That's always fun. We also make daily announcements about district events and initiatives. Right now, you may have heard announcements asking organizations and companies to support the summer internship program that the Continuing Education Department and SFUSD supports. So we're trying to help recruit employers to host students over the summer. We are in active collaboration with teachers here at Burton High School, where we broadcast from. And a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, we had a great group of students in here for most of the day as part of a job shadowing day for students here in the district. So this is something that we believe in and have put resources toward. We have funded stipends and hired a dedicated trainer for district summer interns for the past 5 years. And we are right now seeking out additional funding so we can expand that program. And next week, you're going to be hearing one of our regular ways that we bring voices of students from San Francisco to the airwaves as we return with our Radio Poet series, where students from the SFUSD and America Scores Bay Area, these kids read their original poems and we broadcast them as part of National Poetry Month. So there are ways small and large, and of course we also cover education issues on City Visions, on Your Call, and we have a dedicated beat reporter in KALW News that work on educational issues. But I really want to just confirm to listeners that I am completely committed to us having our independence in the way we cover educational issues, whether they're in San Francisco or anywhere else. But I also want to tell people who are educators in the district, people who are staff members and the board members in the district, that we are also ready to work constructively in ways that don't compromise that independence. So if you read about that in the paper or have heard about it, I wanted to clarify that. And one of the clearest ways that we participate in the district's educational mission is through our Audio Academy, which is a 9-month tuition-free training program that is at the heart of our newsroom. And I have to say, it's quite remarkable. The curriculum that we have developed here at KALW, we have other public radio stations getting in touch with us, even networks saying, hey, how can we put this in place in what we're doing? And we are currently in the 4th year of the Audio Academy and recently reached out to graduates from the first 3 years. And it was just amazing to see how many of them have gone on to find real work in journalism and audio production. Matter of fact, just a couple of weeks ago, one of our Audio Academy graduates, Ted Muldoon, took a job with the Washington Post to do audio journalism work with them. So congratulations, Ted. But I think a real example of how this station is developing new talents in public radio. And I want to make it clear that the influence and growth has gone in both directions. The trainees, the participants in the Audio Academy have had a big influence on our newsroom, really expanding the perspectives that are engaged in our editorial conversation. And we think that's how it should be. We bring the community in through this program and other partnerships that we have, and that influences how we sound, what we pay attention to, the angles that we take. So, should let you know, the deadline to apply to be in the 5th class of the Audio Academy, which would start in September, and also in our summer radio journalism program, is this Friday, March 31st. And there's a link right at the top of KALW.org that says Learn Radio Journalism at KALW. So if you are interested, you can check out all the information there about the program and how to apply. And you may also want to share it with someone you know. It is open to people of all ages. So I want to make that clear. This isn't something just for high school students. This is something for people of all ages, a tuition-free program, 9 months starting in September. So check it out if you are interested. All right. I've talked enough, And I appreciate you taking time to listen. This is the Manager's Report to Listeners. I'm Matt Martin, General Manager here at Local Public Radio. And coming up, the part of the program that's most interesting for me, and that is to hear from you, whether it's about program changes, the threats to public radio funding, what you think public media's responsibility is in this moment, or about anything you've heard on KALW or would like to hear on KALW. I welcome your input. The number to call is 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255 or 866-798-TALK. You can also email me, matt@kalw.org. I will be back with your calls, with your emails, right after this break. Hi, I'm Matt Martin, General Manager here at KALW, and this is the Manager's Report to the Listeners. I have been reporting to you, and now I'm looking forward to hearing from you. I've got a couple of emails to share before we go to calls at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255, and I want to let folks know we have been informed there's a couple issues with our stream. We are working on getting those fixed. But in the meantime, I want to share some emails, and then we will go to calls from you. First, I want to read an email from Matthew Ludeman from San Francisco, who wrote in. He wrote to me and to Rose Aguilar. He said, "Respected local public media leaders, old-school Republican dismantling of hugely important regulations pertaining to Internet and ISPs was transpiring this week." He wrote this last week. "But who would have known it? It was totally swamped by the coverage of the Trump administration train wreck du jour, in this case, the failed attempt to repeal ACA, which was certainly not unimportant. However, I'm not accusing or blaming any of you. You may have covered it. And just voicing concern to one of the few groups of people who still seem to care and listen and have a platform. One of my fears about the Trump era, one of the biggest, is just this kind of thing. While we, the people, and the media are sitting there jaw-dropped by the front and center elements of the Trump circus chaos, there will be huge opportunity for the bot members of our government to drive through stuff like this largely out of view and without debate." Matt, thank you so much for that email. All I can tell you is we are struggling with this, and I share your concern. There is so much to pay attention to right now. Huge things that can make the things that, you know, aren't getting attention, that are actually quite significant, just pale or just disappear from view. Actually, I heard about these changes in regulations that you were talking about. I heard about it first on Kamau Right Now, a live broadcast that we did on Thursday evening. Malkia Cyril was talking about it, one of Kamau's guests, and I realized I had completely missed out on it. So this is the challenge. There is a lot going on, a lot we need to address. And all I can say is that we are in it trying to figure it out with you. And I encourage you, as you become aware of things you think just must be covered, that we should not be missing, that you stay in our ear. That's part of how we work. And that's certainly what I encourage if folks want to call tonight and talk about specific issues, specific things they think, here's what public media should be covering now. We welcome that input. It does make us better. Also want to read an email from Richard Woodhouse that came in today. He says, "For about 30 years, I've been a listener of NPR, and while I always regretted they were so focused on Washington politics at the expense of not covering so many other things that happen around the world, both good and bad, it has now become intolerable. I do not want to be made upset every time I listen to the news by the frequent mention of Trump this and Trump that and all the detrimental actions they're taking. So I find myself listening to KALW at other times and turning it off during the news hours. So if you can lessen the amount of airtime with Washington news, I'll be able to listen to you more." Thank you, Richard, for that email. You know, the other day I had a series of phone conversations, and three different phone conversations, different people that I work with in partnership with the station, different ways. And each of them talked about the challenge of maintaining some kind of balance in the media that they take in terms of just how much they can attend to, how much they can deal with. and how they can both stay engaged, but also not kind of overload and want to turn off altogether. So all I can say is, I mean, I feel like it's our responsibility to pay attention to what's happening in Washington, try to give it context and say, here's what's really important. I don't think that NPR is going to stop doing that. I don't think that we can stop doing that. But at the same time, I do recognize that, you know, that's not enough to survive on as a human being, even if you're incredibly interested in politics. So all I can say is I hope in other parts of the schedule you'll find that balance, because it is a challenge. So I want to take a couple of calls from listeners who have called into 866-798-8255 here on the Manager's Report. First, let's go to Denny in Richmond. Denny, welcome to the Manager's Report.
Hey, thanks, Matt. And I just want to say, in the last 8 years that I've known you guys and been listening every single day, what a great job you guys are doing.
Well, thank you.
The reason I was calling was to raise an issue about the advertisers, patrons, mostly from NPR, not from your station. I think your station does a great job of not taking money from polluters and bad people. But the problem is, in between listening to your show, we hear ads like the proud sponsors of the show from Lumber Liquidators, who was convicted by the Department of Justice, a criminal investigation, a $10 million fine for logging in Siberian tiger forests, polluting people's houses with formaldehyde. There's been a lot of ads for the shale gas people that come across, and I know you don't control that, right?
That is correct.
However, I don't believe that the First Amendment, there's anything that forbids you from saying that periodically that KLW does not agree with NPR's sponsorship and patron policy, correct?
There's certainly nothing. There's no First Amendment restriction on it. I actually, you know, the one thing that I don't know is in our, you know, so just so folks know, the way that it works between KALW or any public radio station, NPR, is that we are member stations. And
right.
that means we pay an affiliation fee to them. And then depending on which programming we decide to carry, we then pay them a certain amount of money for different programs. And they're also, you know, there's a contractual relationship as part of that. And I don't know if there's any restriction within that contract about what we can or can't say about NPR's sponsors. But I will look into it. I mean, I do.
Yeah,
I
appreciate that. Yeah, Matt, that's all I was going to ask you to do was to look into it. And even if you can't, you know, do that, I'm sure that some of your programs could look into this issue.
Yeah, no, I think there's, I mean, where Lumber Liquidators is just the beginning of it, because pretty much, I mean, NPR, I mean, you know, they're basic, they basically have avoided having to make those judgments. By just,
correct.
You know, they say, you know, here's the FCC rules about what kind of announcements that you can carry in terms of like what the messaging can be, although I think all that's pretty fuzzy at this point. And they don't discriminate between who are the speakers and you know, they don't do that outside of not doing things for political campaigns, because there's regulations around that.
Correct.
But I take your point. And, you know, as you notice here at KLW, we don't do a lot of corporate underwriting. And that's,
no, I know, and I appreciate that. That's why I want to make that distinction.
Yep.
That's why I don't listen to the other station.
Denny, I appreciate the call.
All right, Matt, take care. Doing a great job.
All right,
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Let's go to Mark. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you. For the last 2.5 years, you've been promising me that you were going to come out with a journalistic policy. My complaint is with Gaza Corner, the segment of Tangent. I believe that Dory Stein has glaring omissions and distorts facts. And you said you were going to come out, as I said 2.5 years ago, with a journalistic policy about who could say what on these programs. I have not had any response from you. You ignore my emails. And I don't think that the station has to be pro-Israel or anti, but I expect NPR and KALW to present all sides of an issue and not the alt-left type of issue bearing. I want all sides of things prepared, and I haven't seen that. Joey Stein refuses to let alternative viewpoints on his program, and I've not seen anything that KALW that does present the other side. And that's disturbing to me. I could go into the distortions, but you probably don't want to hear it, and I've already emailed you what they were. So criticize Israel all you want, but present other sides. And I don't know one program that, does do that. And I'd like to have a 20-second follow-up after your response, because I think you just need to listen.
Mark, you're right. I have not done it, what I said I would do. Following through on that.
You what?
I have not done what I said I would do.
Is there a reason?
I need to, well, it's really just taking on these issues in a global sense across the station. It's not just about Dory's particular program or the viewpoints presented there. It's making a station-wide policy, and I have not done that.
Okay, it's been 2.5 years, so I don't think I'm being pushy about asking you to address it. I've been a long-time listener and a long-time contributor, but I'm pretty turned off by it. And I'm turned off that you don't respond when I ask about it, because as I said, 2.5 years is a long time. And I don't really know, as I said before, any other part of your station that presents the other side of this. It's okay for him to criticize. It's okay for anyone to criticize. I have criticisms of everything, including Israel. But I'd like to see the other side presented the way KQED does. I don't see that. So that's disturbing to me. And you have a donor list on the station, and I'm going to write to some of the corporate donors and tell them, please contribute to NPR. But don't contribute to KLW. Double your contribution to KQED, because this is really a serious issue to me. I want public radio to be responsible. I don't want it to be the left-wing version of Fox News or Breitbart.
Mark, thank you for holding me accountable and calling in. I hear you. Let's go next to Bruce in the Tenderloin.
Hi, Matt. This is Bruce.
Hey, Bruce. How you doing?
I'm doing great. That was a great open source today. I love Cornell West. And where else can you hear them than on NPR?
Yep. You know? Open source.
I just want to let you
cool
know
show.
That
thank
no
you.
Way that NPR is going to go down. And as far as Dory goes, I mean, we need that viewpoint on Gaza corner, because we got administration in Washington says Israel right or wrong, you know, and so we need a different viewpoint on that, I think, and that's really valuable. So go Dory, you know. But anyway, I just want to let you know that I'll double, triple, quadruple my yearly amount that I send in to keep you guys on the air. I can't be without you, you know.
Well, I appreciate it, Bruce. We are listener supported, and we depend on you. So, thank you so much for calling in and for all your support, moral and financial. Thank you so much. All right. You take care. Let's go next to Ruth Ann in El Cerrito. Welcome, Ruth Ann.
Yeah. Hi there, Matt. I want you to know I think you're doing a really smash up job. I wanted to comment on a couple on the past caller who was saying that you shouldn't be criticizing Israel so much, and
that's not exactly what he said.
I'm trying to make it brief, so I'm not monopolizing time. Is that I think, and this is personal opinion, is that there is so much press that favors or gives the Israeli Zionist perspective that you're kind of balancing that out without having to give both sides on your show. But I wanted to commend you very much so for a couple of the changes. First of all, I'm not a huge NPR buff, even though I do appreciate the bind that they're in now. And so I'm really not a big fan of Fresh Air, so I'm glad that you're not having the repeat at 6. And I also very, very, very much appreciate, and you're not touching it, the chamber music from the Lincoln Center on Monday evenings.
You got it.
Thanks a million.
Thanks, Ruth Ann. Good to hear from you.
Okie doke.
Just got an email here from Laurel Hulley, and Laurel says, Matt, please keep open source, alternative radio, Reveal, and Your Call no matter what. True analysis and journalism and community building at its very best. Love, Snap, and Moth too. Love all the diverse arts programming and interviews and the late night Saturday, Sunday morning overnight programming. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, thank you, Laurel, very much for the email. If you want to get in touch with me, this is the Manager's Report to the Listeners. I'm Matt Martin, General Manager here at KALW. On an occasional basis, I come on and spend an hour updating you on station developments and taking your calls and emails about anything KALW related. We've got some big programming changes coming up next week. We're going to be bringing On Point from WBUR with Tom Ashbrook to weekday mornings, 11 to noon, Monday through Thursday. Also going to be reinstating the Your Call rebroadcast at 8 p.m. and bringing As It Happens to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday. And then on Friday, there'll be Day 6 from the CBC. So I would love your feedback on those changes. You can see all the details at KALW.org. And you can call us at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. Or email matt@kalw.org. I got an email this afternoon, okay, it was over the weekend actually, from a listener whose name I'm not going to put out because I didn't get approval from her, but she was not happy about the As It Happens move. She says, I'm availing myself of a friend's computer to lodge a furious complaint regarding the proposed switching of the one decent program you have, As It Happens, which I listen to every evening from the reasonable hour of 8 p.m. to the totally pointless and unacceptable, unlistenable, and useless time of 6 p.m. And she goes on more. She's not happy about it, says she really values As It Happens. I can only say this. When it comes to radio listening, we all have our habits and the way our lives work. Like for me personally, if it's happening on the radio from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., I'm probably not going to hear it because that's when I'm getting my kids' teeth brushed and I'm reading a book and that kind of thing before she goes to bed. And so it's a tough time for me to listen. And I understand, and I will be sending you a more complete answer when I have time after the program. I understand that you have your habits of your life, and certain things, certain times are good for listening, other times are not. When it comes to when the most people are listening, there are many more people listening at 6 p.m. than at 8 p.m. And so As It Happens, which I think in this time is of renewed relevance, bringing it to 6 p.m. when a whole lot of people are commuting, which is where a lot of radio listening happens, that's why we're bringing it back to that time. But, you know, of course, I'm bummed when I hear that, you know, there's programming that you value that you're not going to be able to listen to. But I just want you to understand, you know, for the majority of listeners, 6 p.m. is a time when they're more likely to listen than 8 p.m. But I do understand that that's not true for you. So thank you for that email. Also heard from Cornelius Moore, who says, Matt, I think the program changes are great. I love KALW. How much of our donations to KALW, if any, go to NPR? I'm much more happy with KALW than I am with NPR. Well, thank you, Cornelius, for that email. Just to directly answer your question about how much of your support goes to NPR. As I said earlier, the way it works is we pay a basic affiliation fee to NPR, and then we pay for specific programs that we put on the Air Morning Edition, All Things Considered, Fresh Air, and so forth. Total, this fiscal year, we're going to pay about $230,000 for NPR programming. And so out of a budget of about $2.6 million, just under three quarters of which comes from listeners, the rest from foundation grants and from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, that's just under 9%. So just under 9% of the station's budget goes to NPR programming. So wanted to make sure that that you had that answer. Let's go to our next caller, Elise in Berkeley. Elise, welcome to the Manager's Report.
Thank you, Matt. And I have to tell you, it's so commendable that you do this. It's so great. I love hearing people's comments. And I'm not happy with some of the changes as well. Like, As It Happens, I really liked having it the 8 o'clock time. Okay. I don't have to be I'm not the only one who has to be happy with these changes. And I realize you have to make them for your own reasons. And they're a done deal, I assume. I mean, nothing we say is going to affect the fact that they're going to...
Well, certainly not going to affect what happens next week.
I mean,
my ongoing hearing from people is part of why, for instance, I really thought, well, it really is important we bring your call back at 8 p.m.
Right.
So,
but here's the real reason I pulled over to call is because I hear a lot of male voices, both young and old, and I hear a lot of young women now, many of them with, you know, giggles and saying like and not terribly well informed sometimes. But nonetheless, I guess we're supposed to encourage them and celebrate and all that, their diversity. I don't hear any mature women on the radio, except for Amy on Pacifica Radio on KPFA. Why is that? I don't hear any programming that's led by a mature adult, you know, middle-aged woman. And that's a bummer for me because there are a lot of very intelligent, seasoned, experienced women who are producing shows. And why aren't they also giving voice to them?
Well, so I have two questions. So, I mean, one question, Heather, who are those women that you want to hear?
I don't know because I don't know who they are. I mean, if I hadn't heard, say, you know, the Philosophy Guys or Marty Nemko, whom I cannot stand, on the radio, I wouldn't know that they exist. I mean, let me qualify that. Marty is really affecting when he gives career advice to individuals, which is, I believe, the mandate of his show. But when he goes off on these tangents and starts orating about his opinions about all sorts of things...
Right.
That are erroneous.
But I want to come back to you. I want to come back to you. Okay, so I just want, because you had said, you know, there.
Why is he on for an hour, by the way, every Sunday at that time, listening time? I don't get that. But, okay, let's go back to point A.
So because you had said, you know, there are programs being produced by mature women, so I wanted to know if you had ones that you wanted to hear, just to make sure I wasn't missing out on an opportunity to do that.
No, you know, I don't know of any except for Amy on Pacifica Radio, and I assume, you know, that's...
You know, I guess that, you know, I work with Rose Aguilar and Hannah Baba, and these are people who seem to me like mature, intelligent women, so then they're...
Right, but they're on your call. They're on that one show.
Well, Hannah's on Cross Currents. Those are our flagship local stations that we have, you know, like that's where we have the control over the voices. Obviously, if there's great national programming that's hosted by women you think we ought to have.
Okay, maybe, you know, I should investigate, because I think what I mean is older women, not women who are still, you know, of childbearing age, I guess, but women who are more advanced.
I understand what you're saying.
I don't hear those voices at all, and ever. And I'm just wondering if radio suffers from the same problem as Hollywood. I don't know.
Well, we're swimming in the same water, but it's a good point to make. So, definitely, if there are national programs along that line that you think these are the voices we need to hear, and I will just keep that in mind, because, you know, I think of those folks as mature adults, but I understand what you're saying is kind of like...
But they're not on NPR either, because they're not on other NPR stations. You know what I'm saying? It's like guys who are in their... There are lots of men who are in their 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
On the radio. And on television.
Great.
Their women are not represented.
All right. At least we got a lot. I appreciate the call. I got a lot of folks online, so I want to hear from them, but I appreciate you calling.
Yeah, and also, the last thing I wanted to ask about
briefly, please.
Why does Marty Nemko get that all that time and free publicity, which he claims is a big public service that he's doing?
Well, I think Marty does do some public service when it comes to giving the advice that he gives. So that's,
yes,
I mean, that's
the career advice he gives is yes, that has value. But he also promotes himself a lot, and his 50,000 articles that he's always talking about.
There is definitely an element of that. I appreciate that. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate
Good
the
luck.
Call. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Manager's Report to the listeners here on KALW in San Francisco. I'm Matt Martin, General Manager of Local Public Radio, taking your calls at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. And also emails matt@kalw.org. Although I'll be honest, I'm having a little problem with connectivity right now. So if I don't get your email on the air during the show, I'll try to respond to you afterward. Let's go next to Harry in San Francisco. Harry, welcome to Manager's Report.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to comment that when the school board thinks about KALW, first of all, they should consider you to be in educational facility, so they're actually, and also you're educating anyone who chooses to tune in.
Yep.
And also it gives a positive image of the San Francisco school system, you know, nationally, internationally, so you should be thinking about those benefits. I did want to comment that I feel like there's a lack of local coverage, although I understand you don't have that many locally produced programs, but, you know, I would like to hear more. And I would like to hear, particularly if there was a talk show about San Francisco in general. For example, people in the Mission calling in and talking about, you know, the monster of the Mission or other things, other, you know, there are many controversies that grow uncovered since we've lost these newspapers such as the San Francisco Independent and some of the smaller local newspapers to cover things, and also the Chronicle and Examiner don't cover anything the way they used to. So I think it would be, you know, really positive towards San Francisco if there was more discussion of, you know, well, how is this torn the Bay Bridge going to be going up, being affecting me, or or the 250 Muni cash fare, or any of the number of things, because otherwise the bureaucrats just have carte blanche to do whatever they want to do.
Yes. No, it's. I mean, it's. We are definitely, you know, there's some resource challenges around that work, but I think, you know, I think that there is definitely room to do more to really focus on the local. And you know, there's so many local controversies that I hear you. There's not enough attention paid to them, and we're one of the organizations that could. So I appreciate you calling in, Harry. Let's go next to Patricia. Patricia, welcome to the Manager's Report.
Yeah. Hi. I want to say that I adore radio, and one of the things that radio has always done is played music. And so while I love like Rose Aguilar's show, et cetera, I love tuning in for Saturday with the patchwork quilt and the folk music, and just leaving it on the dial that whole afternoon is absolutely uplifting, beautiful, educational, and it's music.
Mm-hmm.
So, very grateful, want to keep supporting that. And, you know, we do live in times where a lot has to be talked about, but a lot needs to be played beautifully of music, such as all those folk traditions. So thank you.
Thank you, Patricia.
Bye-bye.
It's an uplifting and educational call. I appreciate it. Let's go next to Marga in Oakland. Marga, welcome to the Manager's Report.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you. It's hard times, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Now, let me tell you, I started volunteering for WGBH in 1957, so I've been following this pull on finances for a long time. I want to tell you, I support and I love the things you've done and things you haven't mentioned yet, Bina. Hearing Larry Brilliant's talk just gave me such hope and spirit. And West Coast Live, Annie Lamott, and the other wonderful women and men who've talked, who've written. We have so many great writers in the Bay Area now, and we depend on your station to give them airtime.
Marga, thank you for calling.
Oh, thing. I don't like hearing on your station what is just the QED. Please use your airtime and feeds of KQED network programming, okay?
Thank you, Marga.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go next to Kathy in San Francisco. Kathy, welcome to the Manager's Report. Hi, Kathy, you're on the air. All right, perhaps we lost Mark. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. Or perhaps you're not. I'm not hearing. How about we just go to the next caller? Hi, welcome to the Manager's Report. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hi.
Hello?
Hi, is this Kathy?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. There was a show last week on Fresh Air on eugenics.
Yeah.
I will, but anyway, thank you for all the wonderful radio. It was about eugenics, and it talked about the people in history who suffered under that, and then it mentioned promiscuous women. Oh, my gosh. And so I called Debbie, and Debbie Kennedy answered at KALW. I said, do they identify themselves as promiscuous? And so, enough said. I've said enough. And she totally knew what I was talking about.
Yeah,
you know?
I have a feeling they may have been quoting some historical language, but sometimes that can slip when you're on the radio.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, wow. you know, it's no one's business, you know, and somebody could be living like a nun and some ne'er-do-well is calling her ugly names. But anyway, I'm setting off. I would like to hear more strong women's, we're all just people, you know, I have four brothers, and I miss your radio when I'm in Texas. There's wonderful, there's Marfa, Radio Marfa over there. And I just love public radio.
Kathy, thank you. I want to see if I can get one more caller in here before we close.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye. You're welcome.
Is this Mark?
Yes.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the Manager's Report. And we've got about a minute here, if you could be brief.
Okay. Real quick. I wanted to ask how I know it's probably a budgetary issue here. KOW signal, unlike KQED signal, sort of gets very dim when you get out of the Bay Area. In fact, when you just get past going south and north of San Francisco, the signal strength really drops.
Yeah,
what are the restrictions on that? Is that a budgetary issue, or I just...
It's kind of a historic issue in the fact that we're in a rather crowded FM dial in the Bay Area. So, so basically we've been, we have 1900 watts. KQED has 50,000 watts. It's also, so there you go. So that's part of it. And our limit is that the FCC, if you want to increase your wattage...
Yes.
What they do is say, let's look at an engineering study and see if it will interfere with other frequencies nearby you on the FM dial where you are.
Oh, fascinating.
And so if we increase our wattage, it could interfere with other radio stations, and they would have the right to say, hey, you can't do that. And so we're just kind of stuck at this level in terms of the power.
Oh, that it's unfortunate.
I agree, but thank God for internet listening, and pretty soon people will be able to listen in their cars.
I do internet listening, but unfortunately, when you go north or south of the city, even that can drop off when you're on a nice, day off in Marin County or in Pacifica. There's very little internet there, but that's the breaks. You just have to. You can play it later.
Work with what we got. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you calling in, Mark.
Oh no, Rose Aguilar, who's fantastic. She's not on the NPR list where you can just time shift and play her anytime, so that's just another thing.
Drop me a line about that NPR list. I'd like to know more about that. We can see if we can get that fixed. Matt,
yeah, on the smartphone. It gives you a list of all the programs. She's not on there.
Oh, I will check into that.
All right.
Thank you for calling, Mark.
Not at all. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
And so that is going to be all the calls we have time for tonight. But I do want to close with a couple more personal notes. I know that a lot of you have been missing the voice of Kevin Vance on the station over the past couple weeks, both on weekday mornings and on his Saturday afternoon show, A Patchwork Quilt. If you don't know, 2 weeks ago, Kevin went into the hospital for prostate surgery. And although his time in the hospital ended up being a little longer than he'd expected originally, the surgery was a success, and he's at home now and on the mend. I spoke with him this morning, and he says he appreciates the good wishes that people have been sending him and that he's been enjoying being able to spend some time just being a radio listener himself. And it sounds like if all goes as hoped, Kevin should be back behind the microphone the second week in April. So, of course, Kevin, we are wishing you the best and a speedy recovery. And last, I want to say that... last week I got word that someone really great at the station, Julie Kane, managing editor for KALW News, the creator of Audiograph, and the producer for our new podcast, The Stoop, is going to be leaving us soon for an exciting new position at AJ Plus. That's the online news and current events channel of Al Jazeera. And I want to, of course, wish Julie well. But I also just want to let listeners know you don't get to work with people of Julie Kane's quality very often. She is somebody who is incredibly professional, who does excellent work and is always trying to improve her craft. And that's part of the reason why she's just an amazing teacher and mentor as well. But that also has a lot to do with the fact that she cares about other people growing just as much as she cares about her own growth. And finally, I'll just say she is someone who has really been a builder here at KALW. Her colleagues will tell you Julie was critical to the growth of KALW News and of our Audio Academy training program, both of which have really bloomed in Julie's time here. So AJ Plus is getting a great audio journalist and a really rare colleague. And I want to thank you, Julie, for all you have given to KALW, and I wish you all the best. And I want to thank everyone who has called or emailed or tweeted tonight. If I did not get to respond to you on the air, I'll do my best to follow up in the next 24 hours. I want to thank Damian Miner, who is on the board, and Ashley Ann Krigbaum, who stuck around a little late tonight to help with the phone lines. If there was a part of this program that you missed, or if you would like to share it, we will have the audio archived at KALW.org within the hour coming up. I'm Matt Martin, general manager here at KALW. Stay tuned for Fresh Air, and thank you for listening.